Week to everybody. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope you had a nice Shabbos. Hold on one more second. Here we go. Okay. Hope you had a nice Sunday and nothing like the top of the week, Monday morning learning. Okay, so before we get started, I just want to acknowledge and thank that our shiur this morning is generously sponsored by Mrs. Alice Struhl, very dear friend. To commemorate the yahrzeit of her beloved husband, Bernard Struhl, Binyamin Eliyahu ben Todras. His neshama shavna aliyah, the yahrzeit is this coming Shabbos, and in the zchus, the merit of our learning Torah together, it should be a merit for his neshama, and it should be a zchus, a merit for the entire family. So thank you, Alice, for your generous sponsorship. Okay, so this morning we are transitioning to a new topic. Of course, we've been learning over the past few weeks the sugi, the topic of Chanukah, and the chapter Bama Madlikin in Meseches Shabbos, discussing the dinim and the laws and the sugya of Chanukah. So today we transition into a new topic. It's always very exciting to start a new topic, to get into the details of a new topic and all of the parts and parcels of it. So this morning, it's actually taken, our sugya this morning is from a gemara that we're going to have in the Daf Yomi in about a month or so. Today we are in the Daf Yomi, Daf Lamed, folio 30. And then another 34 days or so, a little more than a month, we will be on Daf on folio 64. And on 64B, there is one line in that Gemara that really has motivated our conversation. And of course, it has lots of different parts of how this halacha is found and meted out. And we're going to get through. The line is Ein Mavirin ala mitzvos, which one is not to pass up a mitzvah. When you have something that is before you, an opportunity to do something, you cannot let it pass up. And we're going to see that this is not just with regards to any opportunity that is sent your way, but mostly part of what the conversation is when you have two mitzvahs that are before you, and it's the efshar l'kayim shneim, which means it's not possible for a person to fulfill both of them b'vasachas at the same time. And at some point, you have to choose which one is going to choose to do first. And of course, we know that this is from the beginning of the day through the end of the day, different parts of the week. Most famously, when a gentleman goes to the shul in the morning and he has the opportunity to do two mitzvahs at the same time, putting on talis and tefillin. So we have, the idea that we put our talis on first and then we put our tefillin on. Now, the reason why that's true is not because of the concept of in mavir and ala mitzvahs, we don't pass up a mitzvah opportunity. That's because of tadr v'she'enu tadr kodem, which means any mitzvah which is more frequently done, that's given precedence, of course, as you know, over that which is not as frequently done. So therefore, in this case, since we wear talis 7 days a week, we wear tefillin only 6 days a week. So of course, we know that tadr v'she'enu tadr, that which is frequent, talis is more than that which is enu tadr and tadr kodem, and therefore we put our talis on first. But since that's true, and this is very, very important to the transition into Ein Mavir and Ala Mitzvah. Since it's true that we put our talis in first, then it becomes very important where in our talis bag we place our talis and tefillin. I've seen some people wrongly put their talis deeper into the talis bag, and that what's on the outside of that talis bag is their tefillin, right? That's what they can see first. And therefore, what in essence is happening is that you have to lean in, pass over the tefillin. It seems like an innocuous, not so significant little Passover, but the answer is that it's very significant. In fact, we're going to learn today that Ein Mavirin ala Mitzvos requires that we do not pass over any mitzvah, any opportunity. So therefore, just even putting your hand over the tefillin to grab the talis, because we put talis on first, that would be in violation of this concept of Ein Mavirin ala Mitzvos. We don't pass up. So even how you place the tefillin and the talis in your talis bag is significant. So you put your tefillin deeper in, talis out first. So therefore, you'd be able to first and foremost put on the talis, because that's what needs to be done. So the concept of Ein Mavir Nala Mitzvos is our sugya, is our topic today. And I guess I'll present by just way of this fascinating response, which I put into the first three sources, which actually is one source, but I just broke it down so you'll be able to see it in a little bit more of the detail of how it's presented. It's an unbelievable case, and it's, even though it seems to be somewhat imaginary, it's actually not. It's a shaila that was asked to the Radvaz, the Radbaz, we'll see what, in a second, who that was and what he's responding to. But before we do that, let's understand, I guess I'll give you a hypothetical imaginary situation scenario, which is really not so imaginary because it's really the shayla that was asked to the Radbaz. But let's just imagine for just the case in point in the conversation we're having. Now, imagine a Jew is imprisoned in a hostile country. He's, whatever the reason, he's taken, you know, taken hostage, and he's, you know, for whatever, let's assume it's, you know, unfair, even if it's fair, but that person is granted by the authorities one day out. Maybe it's one day a year, maybe it's one day every few years, but he's let out of jail one day of the year. And the way he's able to express his Jewish identity is going to be by way of what he does in that day. So the question, of course, is what day should he choose, and what should he do on that day, right? It's not just like a get out of jail free for that day to do nothing. Obviously, the reason why he's given that choice to be able to leave, and that's part of how the Shiloh was asked to the Radbaz, we'll see in source one, is that he's given one day free to be able to express his Jewish identity. He's able to have that religious freedom for that one day throughout the 364 other days of the year, not allowed to, but this day he's allowed. So of course, then the question becomes like, what day should he choose? And if he's choosing, so what day, what should he do on that day? So again, as we explore the answers to these questions, we're going to uncover here together some meta principles of Torah law, some dinim in halacha relating to the timing of mitzvos, like the instructions of mitzvos, and the choice between mitzvos. It's very difficult. Don't forget, we are a chosen nation, but at some point in our history, we became a choosing nation. And that's really usually a conversation that's had between the different choices in tov or ra, good or bad. B'chiras chavshis, the free will that every person has, that we are given, and the choices and the consequences of those choices that we make. Now, to be clear, this year is about making choices. Now, it's not about making choices between good and bad. That is something which we are perhaps far more familiar with, right? This, the Yetzer Tov, the Yetzer Ra, this is good, this is bad. No. Today's topic and this sugya is really between good and good, between doing two different mitzvahs, two different acts of mitzvah. So the question is, okay, so, you know, which one do we do? Now, if God forbid a person was in such a tragic situation, and again, this is the Gemara Maseches Pesachim 64b, we're going to see the Gemara Maseches Yuma. If Chalila Vachas, a person was in this tragic situation, again, this is also, besides the fact that it was a Shiloh's asked to the Radbaz, this is also just an interesting clinical conversation, which is the sugya that we're learning here. Which day would a person choose and why? Now, of course, the possibilities are endless, but just a few, obviously, would you choose Yom Kippur? Kippur is the holiest day of the year. Maybe a person would choose Purim because on these days it's Yom HaKippurim, right? We celebrate the victory over Haman, who Haman wanted to wipe us out, throw us into the ground, kill us, you know, to annihilate the Jewish people. Maybe you would choose Rosh Hashanah, it's the Jewish New Year, the sounding of the shofar, Pesach, our Yetzias Mitzrayim, our exodus from Egypt, slavery, oppression, matzah, right? Moror, the Dalet Kosos, maybe Simchas Torah, maybe the fact that we've completed, begun the new, the Torah, it's embraced, you know, in such a way of a love of Torah, or maybe Shabbos, you know, Likra Shabbos, the Chuv and Elcha, Kihim Akar HaBracha, it's the essence of blessings. So maybe the weekly commemoration of God's resting after creating the world, that's the day that we should choose. Obviously, you know, it's endless. So where could we possibly find an answer to this question? So that's what was interesting here. So now, this question, as I mentioned in source number one, as we're going to jump into now, is the case of a Jewish prisoner, which was actually asked. This question was asked and raised about a little over 500 years ago, and it was sent to Rabbi David ben Zimra. David ben Zimra died in 1573. Yeah, so he died in 1573, I believe. And he was among, of course, one of the leading rabbinic authorities of his time. He was actually, now what's Rabbi David ben Zimra? Like, it's very common, like Rashi, the Rambam, Ramban. So the Radbaz was the acronym, the acrostic for his name. That's how he was known, to David ben Zimra, Radbaz, the Resh is for the rabbi. So he was one of the leading authorities of his time. He was commonly known as the Radbaz, the acrostic, the acronym for his name. Now, the Radbaz was the chief rabbi, the Rav Rashi of the Egyptian community, Jewish community, and later he was one of the Chachamim in Tzfas when he came to Eretz Yisrael. He lived the last 20 years of his life in Eretz Yisrael. Again, he died in the late 1500s. And now here's the question that was asked to him, and it's interesting. Again, 1, 2, and 3 is really the same Shaila, but I just broke it down into just three different parts, because here's the question, then here's like he has an answer that he rejects, and then what he responds is the answer. So let's look at source number one. Okay, which day should he choose? Shaila, he says, Reuven hayachavush beveis haasurim, Very basic question is that he says, Ruvain, this guy is asking a question, not so dissimilar than what we'd find in the Igros Moshe, people asking Rav Moshe Feinstein, is that Sal question? So he says, this questioner is asking the Radbaz, there was a fellow, his name was called Ruvain, he's in jail, and he's not able to leave, he's not able to down with a minion, he's not able to do any mitzvos. Yeah. So what happens if he's chanin lifnei hasar, and he petitioned in front of the sar, the governor, the minister. Now, so minister. He was not able to achieve full freedom. And the governor, the minister, said that I will only give you one day, right? And that day is going to be Zulasi Yom Echad Bishana Ezi Yom Shiachpitz, whatever day he wants. You can choose. So Yaira Hamaira, Ezi Yom Yikol Yom Shana Yivchar Ruvain Aniskar Lulechis Levesa Knesses. It's interesting. He like throws it in there. Like he's asking Abbas, Rebbe, tell us which day should Ruvain choose to go to the Beis HaKnesses? Now, we're just assuming in that answer, he's like offering to the Radbaz, like we'll assume that he's going to the Beis HaKnesses. We'll assume he's going to shul. It would be preposterous to think that he would leave, you know, jail for a day and he wouldn't go to Beis HaKnesses. The question only, of course, is which day Beis HaKnesses should he go? Now, the reason why I only bring that up is because maybe that's not necessarily what the Radbaz is going to answer. It's not necessarily he's going to go to shul. We'll see. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Okay, but just that in the petitioner's questioning is which day, which day of all of the days of the year, which day of all the days of the year should he Ruvain choose and he should go to the Beis HaKnesses? Which one is it? So his answer he gives in source two is short, it's to the point, and it's actually a little bit surprising. And that's why I just bring your attention to the concept of the Beis HaKnesses statement. So let's look at source two. So we're in source two, it's again the same tshuva, and he quotes another rabbi's answer, and then he rejects it. Now, again, he does not name the rabbis. There's nothing wrong with naming, other than saying it, but naming it obviously would be a different tissue. But he explains, here's the answer. He named Reisi Echad Mechachmot, and he calls him Mechachme Dorenu, B'tshuva. He said there was a great wise man of our generation who actually gave an answer to this. And he says, Reisi, I saw this. I saw the answer, says the Radbaz. Dover Zet Salo B'mayim Adirim. It's like a formistic type of way of saying it. He divided his answer. He set his answer into deep waters, brought up a pottery shard, meaning he's basically, you know, rebutting this answer. He's diminishing the authenticity and the wherewithal veracity of this answer. And v'he'elo cheres biado, as his shard in his hand, what's ra'ua? Shaky. Bunny said that upon a shaky foundation does he build his answer, meaning don't follow the answer to the question that I saw from this Chachmei Dorenu, from this wise man of our generation. Why? But Chila initially, because of Ha'adif Yom Kippur, initially this rabbi said that what's the best day you should choose is Yom Kippur. That's the holiest day of the year, so of course you should choose that day. And only afterwards, Chlifo V'yom Apurim. Afterwards, he changed his mind, says Purim. Why? Mishum Mikra Megillah, because there's Mikra Megillah, if you're Sumei Nisa, there's the publicizing of the miracle. Yeah? Divaina Asara, and that requires 10, as far as the reading of the Megillah. Vein Roy Lisma Chaldvarav. And he says, it's not fitting for one to rely on this answer. That source wanted to a question. He's quoting the answer. He wants to, like, it's like the Sormera Vaaseitov, get rid of what he believes is the incorrect answer. Now the Radbaz is going to answer himself. Here's the answer. This is Yisodus. This is significant. Number three, it says, "Of Amasharai Lismach Alav." You should know the ruling that everybody should rely on. That is the Anan Kaima. That's what we learned. This principle, underlined and bold, Dein Mavirin Al Hamitzvos. Now, one should not pass up on the mitzvahs. A mitzvah is before you. You have an opportunity to do any mitzvah. You do not pass up any mitzvah. There is no opposition. There's no distinction to this principle. And so therefore, hilkach, if it comes out then, ha-mitzvah, harishona, shatava, liado, the first mitzvah that a person encounters, that he's able to do, that he's not able to do while he's incarcerated, while he's imprisoned, while he was unable to do it, it takes precedence. That's first, whatever it is. It doesn't, maybe it's not even that he's going to go to shul. I'm not saying he shouldn't go to shul. Believe me, I'm spending my part of my life passion mission trying to get people to come to shul. That goes without saying. But it's not that he's necessarily not going to go to shul, that he's not going to go to shul. He should go to shul. But maybe the first mitzvah is going to shake a lulav and ask him to be on a table outside when he comes out of the Beis HaSurim. Whatever it's going to be. Maybe Bikacholim. Maybe he's going to go to a bris meal that's going to be in somebody's house. No idea. Nechatesa, it doesn't matter. So he says, Kodemus, whatever it is, Shatova Liyado, that is the mitzvah Rishon Shatova Liyado, that's Kodemus. Ve'ein mashgichin, and a person should not pay attention. Don't be mashgiach. Mashgiach, of course, we use that word. He's a mashgiach ruchni, he's a mashgiach gashmi, he's a mashgiach in a restaurant. Don't, ein mashgichin, do not pay attention to whether ima mitzvah shepoga by tchila hikala o chamura. Don't try to make a cheshbon. If the mitzvah that you have the opportunity that comes first before you is a light mitzvah, it's a weighty mitzvah, it's a heavy mitzvah, why? We're going to get to this in a little bit. She atayodea matan scharn shel mitzvos. You know why? Because we don't know the reward for mitzvos. Even though in our minds we have certain perceptions of certain mitzvahs being larger, heavier, weightier, more significant, have a greater reward. That's not true. We don't know that. She atayodea matan scharn shel mitzvos. V'zeh poshet me'od etzli. This is very, very obvious. Now, we know that there's an einish. We know certain punishments. There's punishments of kares. There's punishments of skila, sreifa. You know, chenek, various other bidei shemaya, bidei adam. We know that malchus, arbaim, chaser echad. We know that there is punishment, but scharon, we don't know matan scharon. So since we don't know that, zeposhet ma'udetzle. This is very obvious to me, says the Radbaz, and then he signs his name very simply, David ben Shlomo ben Avi Zimra, my father Zimra. This is his response. This is his response. This is his tshuva. It's a very interesting response how he says it. But he actually says two things. It's very important here to pay attention to what the response is. The principle upon which the Radbaz bases his conclusion, his ruling, is that it is wrong to pass up even one mitzvah for the sake of a different mitzvah, right? Even though you might think that other mitzvahs outrank certain mitzvahs that are before you. One should perform the first mitzvah that one encounters, even if this means that he will not be able to perform another mitzvah, right? We have, the Gemara tells us very clearly, Maseches Sukkah, we know that if it's, that a person who's not only your Oisek in mitzvah, if you're involved in a mitzvah, but you know you are your putter from a mitzvah. It's not just that you have to get to it later. Now, if it's possible to get to it later and you're able to get to it later, then good. But the din is, the rule is Oisek ma mitzvah, putter min a mitzvah. If you're involved in one mitzvah, you're exempt putter from another mitzvah. Why? Because it's impossible for me to do two things. You know, ke'achas, we're not able to do it. Yev shalakayim shneim, not able to do both of them at the same time. So therefore, somebody offered a day out of jail in this case should arrange his release for the very first opportunity to do a mitzvah that he's able to perform a mitzvah in prison, whatever mitzvah he's not able to do in prison, the first mitzvah, that's it. And every day there's an opportunity to do a mitzvah. So therefore the first day is a chance to do it. Don't wait till Yom Kippur, don't wait till Shabbos, don't wait for other opportunities. These are huge mitzvahs, of course, under normal circumstances, it goes without saying. But no, says the Radbaz, first, number one, first and foremost, basing his halachic position on two pillars. The first is Ein Mavir Na'al Mitzvos. We do not pass upon mitzvahs, but here's a second part of it. The second that you sow, the second foundational pillar is that we do not know the reward for mitzvahs. One mitzvah might appear less important than another one, yet we cannot know their true reward. We think we know, but we don't know. And although a person is allowed to choose, I guess, a greater mitzvah over a lesser mitzvah, even though we think we know, this choice cannot be absolute because there's no, we cannot be sure of the actual worth of any individual mitzvah because we weren't told that, with a rare exception. There are exceptions to those rules, which we're going to talk about towards the end of this, or actually just a little bit, we'll dissect it a little bit. But generally speaking, in Matan Tzchan, we do not know the rewards of mitzvahs that are given. We perceive and think to know, to think that Kibud Av'eim is one mitzvah that's very, very difficult. You know, other mitzvahs might be less so I might choose to do that. You're allowed to choose one mitzvah over another, right? What are you supposed to do? If you have a choice they have to make, you can choose one and you can use your seichel hadas, your intellect, your understanding, what you perceive to be a harsher mitzvah. But that doesn't mean you're right about your choice. And that doesn't mean that you should have chosen one over another. You could have chosen any one of them and you would have been fine because you could argue that I don't know the reward, dispensation. So therefore, I don't know that reward. So that's what it is. The idea that, yes.
Why do you determine the value of a mitzvah based on some reward?
You half froze.
The value of the mitzvah, froze. The fact that it's a mitzvah?
Half froze. Start again.
No, what I asked? Yeah. why do we base
It's coming in and out. Sorry. One more time.
Why do you base the value of the mitzvah on the reward, this amorphous reward you might get?
So we're not supposed to.
Don't you define the mitzvah because it's a mitzvah?
Right, right, right. So we're human beings, and we know the mission.
Now, why do you distinguish between mitzvahs based on some amorphous reward we do or do not know we're going to get?
Sure, sure. No, it's a good question. You're just a holy yid, so it's a hard question. It's like inconceivable to you, right? The mission has to remind us. Altiyu mishamshin es harav almanas the kabel pras, right? Remember that mission? The Mishnah says, do not reward, do not just do a mitzvah so you should get reward. Altiyu, do not do that, because human beings like to get cookies and prizes, right? Halavai, we should have a votu banim u banot on Motzei Shabbat, and there should be, you know what, okay, imagine you have 100 kids, everyone's coming, and you send down an email just to the little kinderlach and say, all right, kids, tonight there's going to be no prizes. I wonder how many kids are going to come to Avos Ubanot. I'm assuming there's still people will come. I'm not saying it will be where we've like lost ourselves completely, but it's true of children. It's true of adult children, human beings, adults who are children who are in adult bodies. We all, and it's human nature, right? The mission has to remind us that there's reward. And in our calculation, in our limited level of understanding what reward and punishment is, we make certain algorithms and choices to think that, okay, this is heavier, this is heftier, this is more significant, this is less significant. You know, we have no idea what that is. We absolutely have no idea. It could be that there's greater reward in the areas that we don't think that there is, right? So therefore, the Mishnah tells us, and this Gemara is telling us, that we just, since we don't know, got to treat them all the same, right? You're allowed to make a choice when you're at a smorgasbord. So you're allowed to pick what you put on your plate. If you're a holy person, you just pick the first thing that's there. You're allowed to pick. The question, of course, though, is that don't pick it because you perceive to think. Don't be tricked to think that because you think you know what's weightier and heftier, that's the reason why you should choose that thing, one thing over another thing. Okay? Yes, Doc.
So, I mean, this concept goes back to Pirkei Avot, Haveza here, b'mitzvah kalav k'vachamuram. I mean, this is almost a direct quote from the Pirkei Avot. But the other thing that I think that relates here is that if you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, and if you apply the concept of zrizim makdimim l'mitzvah, and, you know, we're sitting here, just finished Hanukkah, and I have a chance to do one mitzvah a year, I'm going to wait till Tishrei. I think we don't know what the future holds. And certainly if you're in prison, your life is very precarious. So I think the first opportunity that you have to do this one mitzvah, you ought to grab it.
Right, right. So you're saying from a very practical point of view that even it's unpredicted what the reality is going to be. So don't wait, right? I mean, theoretically, if a person has an opportunity, I mean, we know that we make these types of choices all the time. No, it's true. That's part of what the answer is. The answer, it's interesting. He doesn't say because there's reason magdim l'mitzvahs. See, it's a good point. It's an obvious, you know, observation, right? Because we don't know what will be. Imagine you said Hanukkah, so now you'd have to sit in jail for another year till, you know, almost another year to be able to light the menorahs. So that seems preposterous. But it's interesting. It's always interesting, like when you learn Gemara, I always figure out like what it's saying and what it's not saying. So the fact that he doesn't, this is a tshuva, this is a response safer. So the fact that he says that the reason is, it doesn't say it's because this is the reason magdim l'mitzvos. It says, ein mavir na l'mitzvos. Now, those are somewhat related to it. They're somewhat synonymous in the sense that Zrizim Magdim L'mitzvos means Ein Mavirin Al Mitzvos. Because you're a Zariz, you do not push off an opportunity to do a mitzvah. But that's interesting that because that's a principle that we know is a principle, Vayashkem Avraham Baboke, right? We have so many sources of where that's the case. You would think that the answer is Zrizim Magdim L'mitzvos, right? And I guess part of that is, there's a mitzvah for a person to do every day. You know, I don't know if I would say that it's so different, except it just doesn't use that language. It just doesn't use that language.
But on Friday night, we always, unless I'm at the table, we always pass the wine. And that's passing a mitzvah. And people do it every single Friday night.
Yeah, good observation. Yeah, good observation. They used to give stars.
The Kiddush police.
Yeah, no, you know, did they? I'm sure they gave stars in your days. When I did something nice in my class, I used to get a star. Linda, you got a few stars for that because you always recall and remember the things that we've learned, the things we've discussed, the things that are, need to be observed. It's true. Actually, people make that mistake every single Friday night, every single Shabbos day, right? Because when you pass the challah and when you pass the kiddush, so really this idea of ein mavir ala mitzvah is really technically and halachically, it seems to be counterintuitive to what we perceive to be like good basic etiquette, right? Basic etiquette is like, I'm going to pass it to you. Like if I get dessert, right? Lahavdil, a mitzvah and dessert. That's assuming that eating a dessert is not a mitzvah. Let's just go with that for just a second, right? So the cut of cake is now delivered onto a piece. So what do? You're not going to take the piece that's first given to you and start eating it. You're going to pass it around the table till it makes its round, and right? And then the last person at the end of the table is going to get that cake. Now, the same thing is not allowed to be true with regards to a cup of wine or, you know, those little cups of wine or passing the Kiddush cup, right? Because ein mavir ala mitzvahs. Really, technically, halachically, what's correct, you're supposed to take for yourself and then pass. You're supposed to take from the bread basket and then pass because ein mavir ala mitzvahs. People make that mistake all the time in the name of etiquette. So what I like to do around our Shabbos table when we have guests, which I'm yearning desperately to have guests, is certainly Bali Tshuva at my Shabbos table. I always try to teach everybody that because I've had guests at the table, they'll look with their eyes like kind of pop out of their head, like, wow, that's rude. That is really rude. Like the guy, he's going to take first. Like, you don't take first. And the idea is Ein Mavir Ala Mitzvos is a good opportunity to teach the lesson of Ein Mavir Ala Mitzvos. Now, yeah, that's one of the advantages of the, I'm not selling silver, but one of the advantages, you know, those Kiddush cups that you pour and it goes into all those little cups and you can pass that around the table. So if I was in the silver business, I'd say, oh, that's a reason why you should buy these silver with the multiple cups. So you take and you pass it, you take one off the little tray, no big deal, mishkefelech. But you're right. You're right. Many people make those mistakes. We make mistakes, unfortunately, in a lot of areas all the time. That's a good point, Linda. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I know that you're conscientious about that because we've learned it before together. Okay. So good. So far, so good. Back in? Okay, good. All right. So, and just the again, so the two points, Ein Mavir Ala Mitzvos, and it's interesting why he doesn't use the Lashon of as in, you know, Zeriza Magdim Ala Mitzvos. Good, I'm not sure. And the second is that we don't know Matan Scharan Shal Mitzvos, do not know the reward for Mitzvos. So let's dissect those both for just a minute, okay? Because those are very essential. The first is Ein Mavir Ala Mitzvos. Let's address this. The first thing, as I mentioned, it's the Gemara Maseches Pesachim. We have the daf in just a couple of weeks, in about a month's time. And then it's in folio 33a, Alamed Gimel Amud Aleph Maseches Yuma. And this is the source that the Radbaz, later on in his tshuva, he uses, he quotes, Zamar, look at source 4, Amar Reish Lakish, Ein Mavir Ala Mitzvos. That's a din, that's a source. That's his Talmudic source, not a biblical source. Although we're going to see that there is a biblical source, because Rashi, in his commentary on the Gemara, Maseches Yuma, explains that the source for this principle is noted, is rooted in a medrash about matzah. Now, again, anytime you learn Gemara, so you want to know like what, or any response sefer, so you want to know what their Talmudic source is, and of course the Talmudic source is what's your biblical source. So look, the Mechilta and Parshas Bo, this is taken from Parshas Bo, and source number 5, and this is a famous extrapolation here. So if you look at 5, it says, Ushmartim es hamitzos. Again, what is the source for the principle of the Talmudic principle, which the Radbaz relies on? Ushmartim es hamitzos, es hamatzos, sorry. I just gave it away. Ushmartim es hamatzos. You should safeguard, says the Pasuk, it's the Pasuk in Parshas Bo, you should safeguard the matzos. Now, shmura matzah actually comes from this Pasuk, because Ushmartim, you have to safely guarded very, very, very strictly. You should guard the matzos. Now, what are you ushmartim es hamatzos from? We're guarding them, we're preventing them from becoming leaven, obviously, right? Because if it's beyond a certain amount of time, 18 minutes, then it becomes leaven, it rises, and then it becomes chametz, it's also din on Pesach. Of course, we all know, Parshas Bo. Now, the Gemara says, so Rabbi Yoshi Amar, al tikre kein elo shmartim es hamitzvos. The matzos and mitzvos, these are interchangeable words just by the vowelization of those words. Matzos or mitzvos. It says, don't read it as matzos. Rather, read the sentence, shmartim es ha-mitzvos. Read it as you have an obligation, not just to safeguard the matzos, but you have an obligation to safeguard the mitzvos, the commandments. And here, bold on the line, kederach she'en mach mitzin es ha-matzah. And just as one should not cause the matzah to become leaven, machmitzin is to leaven the matzah to become chametz, kach ein machmitzin es ha-mitzvah. So to a person should not cause the mitzvos to leaven by delaying them. There's a certain leavening. They become chametz, they become osur, they become lost. And you could think that this is the reason magdim the mitzvos, right? But that doesn't say that. In machmitzin, it's a matzah. It's a mitzvah. It's not matzah, it's a mitzvah. Ela, imba mitzvah liyadcha, aseh yisamiyad. If it comes to you in your hand, do it right away. Why should you do it right away? Because ain't my view in all the mitzvahs. But it actually has a little bit, Dr. Seinfeld, I agree, a little bit of a connotation of zrizim, magdim mitzvahs, at least in this michilta. The michilta says, ba mitzvah, liyadcha, if you have it in your hand, so aseo yisamia, do it immediately. Don't lose it. Don't have the chance for it to leaven, and therefore you would lose it. Do it when you encounter it, any mitzvah for that matter. You should do it immediately. So matzah, as we see, is a paradigm for all mitzvos, right? That's how we understand this famous mechilta. So in order to prepare matzah, a person has to remove fast. The person has to be without delay. That is not just ein mavir na l'mitzvos. Ein mavir na l'mitzvos, I would argue, you know, Dr. Seinfeld, if you and I are chavrusas here, I would argue ein mavir na l'mitzvos is when you have two mitzvos that are before you. But zrizim akdim l'mitzvos is like matzah, right? It seems like this is where it would play nicely. The leavening process is going to kick in if you do not add any yeast, right? If you delay, it's going to kick in. If the dough sits idle without constant kneading, possibly rendering it, of course, chametz, it's leavened and unfit to eat on Pesach, it's also chiv kares. And so similar, the drasha here is that we can't let the opportunity to do a mitzvah pass by because the reason why I do a mitzvah, it just doesn't say, it doesn't use that language. I'm not sure why. I got to search in that a little bit. So timing, of course, is of the essence. Strike while the iron is hot. You can't pass up the opportunity to do anything that's good because if you do, it's not just that we're not sure what's going to be with you. You're going to go back to prison. Maybe you're going to have your sentence is going to be elongated. The governor is going to change. He's going to choose not to commute your sentence even for just a day. Okay, so this is just this concept. Now, this principle, this idea, of course, is plugged into the details of mitzvah life. So, for example, we know, Linda, as you said, you know, this challah, there's kiddush, there's the seder plate, right? There are a whole host of talis and tefillin, a whole host of just different things that are in relation to strike while the iron's hot, that this is ein mavir na l'mitzvos. We arrange it in a certain way. It has to be, you know, very specific. These principles are reflected by Zerizim Agdim Lamitzvos, but they're also reflected by Eim Aviren Lamitzvos. Now, going beyond the principle of not passing up mitzvos, so the Radbaz, of course, as we said, establishes that one should not even pass up a minor mitzvah. You know, you have to do, in order to do a greater mitzvah, like what's minor, what's great? Like, we don't know what that means. It is a direct quote from Pirkei Avos, we'll see in 6. Now, the prisoner here should not wait until one of the important days of the Jewish calendar, not just because of, you know, maybe the thought here is that he's distinguishing between good, you know, weightier ones and minor ones, but really there is no such thing. And therefore he says, don't pay attention to whether the first mitzvah he encounters is a light mitzvah or a weighty mitzvah, because you don't know. And what's he referring to? Like you said, direct quote from Mishnah and Perkei Avos, Perk Bez, Mishnah Aleph. We'll look at source 6. Be careful about all mitzvahs. Now, we understand that this teaches a very, very powerful and a very fundamental lesson about mitzvahs and divine service, which we don't really know what that means. Now, I think this article, this is just a part of this article. You can actually Google this whole article. It's fabulous. Rabbi Benjamin Blech. Understanding Judaism, the basics of deed and creed. This is great. And this is why, we'll see it together, why this fundamental lesson about mitzvahs and divine services is sadistic, is foundational. So look at this, source 7. God alone knows what weight to give every action in the cosmic scheme of reality. For us, every mitzvah must be equal simply because each one shares its source in the divine imperative, right? That's what we know to be true. Each is to be observed because God said so. These are my words, right? What's the reason why I do a mitzvah? Because I told you to do a mitzvah. Why, child, do you have to do this command? Because I'm your parent and I told you to do it. The fact that we're given all these different answers and different explanations, that's just like what we call the cherry on top, right? Do it because God said so. That, back in the article, that is true for the simplest act, and this is true for the most demanding one as well. Second paragraph, it is here that a profound point begins to emerge. If we were to give preference to one mitzvah over another for whatever reason, so it is then we who become final arbiters of the purpose of commandments. It's fascinating, right? So it's not just the din it's that ein mavir na la mitzvos, if we did pass over certain mitzvahs, it would then become that we ourselves are the final arbiters of the purpose of commandments, because obviously that I know I think I know that the reason why I have to do this before another one is because I think it's more important, it's more weighty. To rank one law above another might not seem a crime, but whenever we call one thing more important than the next, we also diminish the one not chosen for highest priority, right? And the reason why I chose you and I chose A and I didn't choose B is because B is inferior. B is not as good. So therefore, I've made a choice that B is less. Treat all mitzvahs equally because to do otherwise is to say, I think that this particular law is not so important. I could say it's important, but it's not as important. If I like the ethical parts of the Torah, but do not feel constrained by the rituals, then of course I will say the former is what God really cares about. By the way, people say that all the time. God really cares about the details. The answer is he does. He does. Okay. Does he care about that more than other things? I don't think so, but we don't know. And therefore, since we don't know, we treat them all the same. Do I find rituals such as symbolism, pageantry, and beauty, but laws restricting me and my business practice too confining? Then obviously God only meant to be taken seriously when he told me to pray to him. But he was not serious when he insisted I not pray upon my fellow man, right? Because this is a God, he's very selfish. It's not that way. So therefore, since we do not know, we do not make those choices. This is not only true in Ein Mavir and Al HaMitzvah, this is true in every way that we lead our lives, because the way we live our lives, sometimes, as we've mentioned many, many times, a person could be very righteous in the synagogue. He could learn, you know, very rigorously, and it goes out the business, and he acts unethically. Why? Because he's made a decision. He thinks that going to shul and learning, which all of those things is significant. I don't mean to minimize that. We minimize nothing. But somebody bifurcates what he perceives to be that which is significant, that which is less so. And therefore, the way he acts in the street is not the way he acts in the synagogue. And that's not what Hashem wants from us. We have to act with both in tandem. Selectively, last paragraph. Selectivity is the transgression. There's a big line here. Selectivity is the transgression that allows us to pick and choose from the law and hence to redefine it. That is the point of the Mishnah that the Radbaz uses as the basis for his response to the Jew forced to select a day of religious observance, right? That's the Mishnah he's choosing. Choose the first day so that you don't in fact choose, but rather God chooses for you. So I think that that's what's interesting, that even though it's true, this seems to be because do it, right? But it's also because it's Ein Mavir and Al HaMitzvahs, because if you were to choose to wait for another day, forget about maybe Hanukkah, which is an extreme example because it just ended. But let's say Yom Kippur's in a week. Okay, so I'm going to come out and daven Shacharis, you know, on a Monday morning, be part of a minyan. I'm going to put my talis tefillin up, daven Shacharis, whereas I could wait just another week and have a, you know, Yom Kippur experience. No. Choose the first day so that you don't choose. I can't choose, because if I chose, I would be saying the Yom Kippur is more important than a Monday Shacharis, which maybe we think it is. Maybe it is. I don't know. I don't think we're not meant to think that. We're not supposed to make that conclusion. Choose the first day so you don't have to choose, but Hashem chooses. Choose the first day, because if you are granted the freedom to practice your religion on any day, you dare not defer it to another and thereby declare that you are looking for something better. There's something less, there's something more. Now, this is obviously when we play into the emotions and the psyche and our perceptions and our understanding, it was obviously very complicated. But I think this is a very succinct way of understanding the Radbaz, and a very succinct way of understanding just the concept of selectivity is, he calls this the transgression. It's an aveira that allows us to pick and choose from the law and hence to redefine it. Now, those are his words, not mine. Now, the immeasurability of mitzvos, as established, as we learned in the Mishnah and Perkei Avos, it emerges from the fact that the Torah itself avoids the subject of schar, of war, reward for particular mitzvos, with two notable exceptions. And this is very important, because what are these two notable exceptions? It seems to like put a pie in the face of this whole story, of this whole learning, this whole lesson this morning, when really, if there's exceptions to the rule, then there's exceptions to the rule. Look at source 8 and source 9. These are the exceptions. The first, Dvarim Hei, Atezayin, which is from Parshas Va'ezchanan. What's the reward for honoring parents? Kavod es avicha v'simecha. Honor your father, honor your mother. Kasha tzivcha Hashem l'kecha, like Hashem commanded you. What? Now the next line gives me the reward. L'man yarich yomecha l'man yitav loch al ha'adam asher Hashem elokecha noisin loch. Hashem gave you this land and you're going to have lengthened days. Avichas yomim. I understand. There's no reward. I thought there's no reward. There is a reward. It's very clear. Not only that, but if in Parshat Kiseitze l'melchamo al oivecha perek chaf beiz psukim vav and zayin. So we see again the second mitzvah that there's a reward. Ki kari kan sipor lefanecha. Person has a bird's nest that lie before you. B'derech b'chol eitz al ha'aretz efreichim al beitzim la'em rovetzis al efreichim al beitzim latikach ha'em al abonim. What happens? You're on the way, you're traveling, it's on a tree, it's on the ground, you see chicks and eggs, the mother's sitting on the chicks. Don't take the mother along with the offspring. Like, latikach ha'em al abonim. Zayin, shalech tishalech es ha'em ves abonim tikach loch. You know what will happen? You'll have a riches yomim. I understand that. Is the reward is not. Here we have two mitzvahs in the Torah, where in fact the Torah tells us the reward, and the reward for both is the same. Long life, prosperity. So both honoring parents, seemingly the waiting mitzvah, far-reaching, often challenging, and sending the mother bird away seemingly light, mitzvah easy to do, is only obligatory if you chance upon it. The Torah promises the same reward. So what do we understand? Like, how, is the reward or is there not? It's like, is this now an exception to the rule, which obviously it seems to be. So how do we understand that? So if you have a chance to do a kibud av aim and any of the mitzvah, should you drop it and just now be able to, you know, fulfill that mitzvah? And this is like a little bit exaggerated, but let's just say the choice day is your mother's birthday or your mother's yard site or some type of celebration of your mother. Maybe that's the day you should choose, right? Because after all, okay, I'll tell you that Shabbos and Yom Kippur and all these days, which are exceptional, extraordinary, those are days that maybe those aren't mentioned in the Torah as it relates to known days of Kibud Av Aim. Now, what's Kibud Av Aim? Why don't we make a bracha on Kibud Av Aim, right? So that's another permutation of this. But let's understand, like, what this is. This is an exception to the rule or not. So the Yerushalmi calls the mitzvah Shiluach HaKan the easiest mitzvah of all the mitzvahs, and Kibud Av Aim the hardest of all the mitzvahs. Now, we do not need to elaborate on why the mitzvah of Kibud Av Aim is the hardest mitzvah of the Torah. Why? Because the nature of parents and children, it's a loving relationship, and because of the loving, close, intimate relationship, we do not have sufficient awe that we should have for parents. Now, parents also can be very demanding, too demanding. So it's not an easy relationship. So the Yerushalmi calls Kibud Av Aim the hardest of the mitzvahs. Now, on the other hand, what's, you know, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi say that Shiluach HaKan is the easiest of mitzvahs. It doesn't cost anything. All you need to do is to hit the nest with a broomstick. That's it. The mother flies away. You have the mitzvahs. You then fulfill the mitzvahs. I say the easiest mitzvah. There's no financial effort. It doesn't take much time. Just a little snap, crackle, and pop. You just move it with a broomstick. That's all you need. So yet the Yerushalmi says it's the easiest, right? And the hardest mitzvahs have the same problems of being good for you and lengthening your days. So what's the message? What's the pshat in this? Like, how do we understand that? So one way, and this is very important, one way of understanding this is that this is a classic way of teaching us what the Mishnah Perkei says, that we should be careful about an easy mitzvah like a hard one, because we do not know the reward for mitzvahs. I thought we were just taught the reward for mitzvahs. So the mitzvah says not to pick and choose our mitzvahs because we just do not know their reward, right? We would think that the difficult mitzvah of Kibud Av Aim is worthy of great reward, but an easy mitzvah, right, that only entails scaring away a bird would not deserve any reward. Nonetheless, and this is where it's very significant, the Torah makes the same promise of being good for you and lengthening your days by both. And so if we ever needed an example for this Mishnah and Avos, this is it. They have the same reward. I mean, it's just basically telling you it's the bookends, that no matter what it is, you do not know the reward for big ones and small ones. These are just the examples of how we know that that's true. That's how the Mishnah and Avos is explaining what the Pesukim are saying. It seems as if there's reward that's mentioned. That would be true, and it would seem to be a distinction and a conflict with everything we've been learning till now, if there was only one of them, right? Meaning if there was only Kibud Av Aim is associated with Varachta Yamim, Variches Yamim, lengthening of days. But because there's also Shiluach HaKan, it's the easy one and the hard one, don't think you know, because we don't know. They're given the same reward. Maybe every mitzvah has the same reward. It seems as if those are the bookends, everything inside that, there's obviously, if it's the same there, then maybe it's the same everywhere else. Maybe it's not, but we don't know. And since we don't know, like the Mishnah tells us, we have to treat them all the same. So that's what this, you know, explanation of these two mitzvahs, these two Mishnayos are, this Mishnah is, or these two mitzvos are, rather. And that's the idea of in Mavir and Ala mitzvos. Which day should he choose? What should he do on this day? It's not really, again, as we said at the beginning, not choosing between good and bad, tovara, right? Righteous and wickedness, but rather between good and good. And that's sometimes where it's agonizing, tantalizing. I should choose etiquette and behavior goodness versus, you know, what's halachically correct. And that's this interesting tshuva of the Radbaz, which day should he choose? This is a question that was asked to him. He said that the rabbi, again, in source 2, you'll remember, said Yom Kippur, then Purim. That's not true. Don't rely on that. Anything that comes to you first and foremost, that's what it be. But again, two principles, Ein Mavir and Ala Mitzvos, and we don't know Matan Schar and Shal Mitzvos, and yeah, to add Zuzim Magdim LaMitzvahs would not be inappropriate. The source, the Talmudic source was source 4, where he said, based on the Gemara Yuma, and it says it straight out, Mechilta, Matzos, Mitzvos, that drosha of the Mechilta, and that matzah is paradigmatic of all mitzvos, and the way we prepare matzah, the way we leave matzah, the way we would be negligent of it, it would be lost, it would pass. In fact, doing it would be wrong, it'd be an aveira, you wouldn't be able to eat that, quote, matzah, because it'd be eating chametz, it's aser. Timings of the essence, we have to strike again while the iron's hot, of course, we do not pass up the opportunity. And I love Rabbi Blech's interpretation of this whole idea, the basic deeds and the creating rights, how this is really where these points emerge, and selectivity is the transgression that allows us to pick and choose from the law and hence to redefine it. And we do tons of picking and choosing constantly, and that's wrong. We cannot pick and choose. The reason why picking and choosing is wrong is because in that essence, what we're doing is we're basically saying that certain things God cares about more versus other things. You know what God cares about. I know what God cares about. I have no idea what God cares about. So therefore, it seems that what I do know is that God cares about 613 mitzvahs. And that's what it is. And even though there seem to be these two examples that kind of seem to go against this, nope, not necessarily what that is. But these are the two bookends which explain the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, just like the hard, heavy, hefty, as the Yerushalmi says, kibud aveim, and the light, easy, super, able to be done, Shiluach HaKan, sending the mother bird away. So these are just examples of how we know that that just must be the Ein Matan Schar and Shel Mitzvos. We do not know the reward for mitzvos. So I know it's a lot. Questions, comments, concerns, Ein